would you? Give the Lord a hand. You enjoying your summer? I am. How many of you been in the water? Yeah. Amen. I need to get in the water more. Amen. We've had a great week this week, a great week of ministry. Throughout Thursday night was a wonderful night here. We had a worship night and a cookout out front, and just a great night of fellowship. And Wednesday night, we had a wonderful night together, the men's group. The Lord was working. Tuesday night, we had another night of ministry. We actually had canceled the Tuesday activity night, and we went to Barville for chicken wings. How many of you have been there for chicken wings? Oh, dear Jesus, I need to pray for you folks. How many of you love chicken wings? Best chicken wings you've ever had, take it from me. Am I lying to them, Dad? Barville, don't go to the bar, go to the dining room, amen, and have the chicken wings. But we were sitting in there, and we went with Mr. and Mrs. Booty, and Mr. Booty had a little bit of a health scare, and we took him right to the hospital from there, and they began to do tests. And I share that from the pulpit to say this. We got there, and we were outside waiting on Mr. Booty to see what was going on. And several people, while we were there, we didn't plan it. We didn't plan on going to Millard Fillmore that night. We planned on eating chicken wings and hanging out and having a good time. But we went there, and we had three people approach us, and it was totally off the wall. We didn't have badges on that said pastor, minister, city church, no church shirts on. We had, I actually had my some work clothes on. And these people, three different people, came up to us and began to just tell us what was happening. And we were able to, outside of the ER, we were able to minister to these people in this moment. And I thought, man, isn't that God that he'll send you wherever he has to send you. He'll send you to a restaurant so you're 5 minutes from a Buffalo hospital because he knows that you need to be near that facility to get the care that you needed in that moment. God connects the dots of our lives as long as we're willing to have our eyes open to what he's doing. That's what I want to just share with you just for a minute. Our eyes open for what God has, or have we become such a skeptic about everything that we begin to view everything through the eye of, oh, that can't be real. Those people can't want us to minister to them. They don't know who we are. We're in Buffalo, New York. They couldn't want us to minister to them. And all the while, God has sent people to you and to I, for sometimes for us to minister, but other times for you to be ministered to. Listen to this. I pulled this up. A skeptic is a person inclined to question and doubt everything. The Bible says it this way. Don't call conspiracy to everything this people calls a conspiracy. You know, you could get in a moment like that outside the ER, and somebody could come up to you and you could say, oh, that person's weird. Stay away from me. We're all inclined to that. But the Bible says don't call everything a conspiracy. It goes on to say, do not fear what they fear. Don't dread what they dread. The Lord Almighty is the one you should regard as holy. And it goes on to say that we should fear him and put him in a place of honor. And it goes on to say, and for the people of Jerusalem, he'll be the trap and the snare. Many of them will stumble, but they will fall and be broken. They'll be snared and captured. Listen to these words. Bind this testimony of warning and seal it up in God's instruction among the disciples. Three quick thoughts on this morning. I'm being a skeptic and calling everything a conspiracy. We should be focused that everything that God is sending us, he's working for our good, and we must focus on the good. I think this is such a word for the body of Christ right now, that we have to be careful not to join in with the news. I'm just going to say it the way I see it. with the news and just, oh, that category of people. It seems like there's a different category of people that is evil and that is terrible, and every priest is terrible, and every pastor is terrible, and every organization, they're horrible. To pause and say, what is the good that God has to offer within this thing? Whatever that thing might be, going to the ER, you could walk in there with a perspective, oh gosh, our night was ruined, it was terrible. But I began to sit out there, and I said to Sam, I said, I believe through the Holy Ghost, and I don't get it right all the time, but I think I got it right Tuesday night. I believe that the Holy Ghost sent us to eat chicken wings so that episode could happen 5 minutes from Millard Fillmore, and he's working it for our good. I believe even, to take it a step further, that the woman that my dad began to minister outside that ER, that God sent us to Millard Fillmore to meet Rachel out front of the ER so we could minister hope and healing to her. We didn't invite her here to church. I sent her to one of my best friend's church right in Clarence, New York. She goes, I know that church. I said, get over to the church and tell them that Ryan sent you over there. I believe with all my heart, I believe this, and I believe it for your family, that if you'll look for the goodness of God in things, that it'll show up in your life and mine. Be careful not to be a skeptic and believe everything's a conspiracy. And our flesh is to doubt everything, isn't it? You talk to people who are married. Well, I'm just not sure. You know, I don't know where she's at. I don't know where he's at. Begin to speak the goodness of God over your spouse. Begin to speak the goodness of God over your children. Yeah, we mess up. Yeah, we fall short. But begin to declare, this is the wife that you gave me, and I am glad in her. This is the husband. Yeah, look at him right now. This is the husband that God gave me, and I believe that he's not nearly what he will become, and that God's hand and goodness is on our home, and I could talk a lot more on that. Focus on what is good. Don't focus on what is evil. My second thought is, the word of the Lord says this, the Lord Almighty is the one you regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. This is the word. This is what the scripture is getting at. The warning here is that the enemy wants you to reject the blessing that God's sending to you. Oh, I'm not going to the hospital. Just take me home. I don't need to die. I'm 5 minutes from Millard Fillmore. I'm not going there. I'm going home because I'm tough. No, Mr. Booty waved the white flag and said, take me over there because I believe that God's going to work it for my good. And they treated him tremendously over there. And I believe with all my heart, I trust God enough to say that he's sending us blessings, but we have to receive that blessing. The Holy Spirit is sending you good things. Don't let the enemy talk you out of what he sent you. He sent you friendships. He sent you to a church. He sent you to a group. Our small groups, every week I hear these testimonies, and you could walk into a small group and go, well, I'm not going to a small group because when they get to know me, then, you know, I won't be able to go to church there. People say that because they're a skeptic. They have a skeptic's mentality that they can't be loved. Can I tell you something? You can be all sorts of weird. You can be all sorts of different. You can be all sorts of, your background can be all messed up and screwed up. And can I tell you something? The groups that are here at City Church, and we fashion the group leaders that they're grace-filled, spirit-filled people that say, come on, yeah, we'll be weird with you. Come on, walk in the way here. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't want to be weird. You already are. You just don't know it. My last thought is this. The scripture says, bind up this testimony of warning and seal it up on God's instruction among the disciples. This right here, I pray it is an imprint on your heart. What's your testimony? The testimony is this. Remember what God has done for you and in you. That's your testimony. And miracles, your next testimony will only come to place. It will only come to fruition if you believe that the miracle's possible. You know why some people stop receiving miracles? Because they get born again and they think that's the last miracle. It's not the last miracle. It's just the start. I get to watch people all my life. I've been a PK since I was a little boy. I've got to watch people receive Jesus Christ and then go on this miraculous journey. Can I tell you today? Don't think that God's miracle is done in your life because you'll miss the greatest years. Don't be such a skeptic to say, well, that's all I could ever receive. And, you know, let me lay one more layer on it. I could never give because I just, you know, that church is just, you know, that's being a skeptic. It's having a skeptic's mentality. Instead, I believe that whatever I sow, that when I sow instruction into my heart and my spirit, that discipline comes into place, and it not only affects me, but it affects my sons and daughters. Ooh, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit right there. That I believe that when I make God's word a part of my life, I might not receive the full blessing of it, but my kids will. See, what you're doing, what you're believing for, what you're sowing, the mind's eye, what it can believe for today is not just an effect on you. It has an effect on generations to come. And you have to believe the greatest miracle that you'll ever see, it might not be through you. It'll be through your kids. How many of you say, yeah, I'm a little bit of a skeptic? Just lift your hand right now. I pray in Jesus' name, in this place, that we wouldn't be skeptics. We wouldn't think that things are a conspiracy, but we believe you for the greatest miracles that we've ever seen. We do put our faith in you. We put our trust in you. We put our hope in you. We even declare in this place, in this moment, that we are about to see an explosion of your spirit. We even sense you now. We even feel you now. We sense your presence even now. Thank you that we didn't miss the moment. That moments of Holy Spirit manna would fall on this place and on families, on dads, moms, sons, and daughters. We believe you for it. We believe you for miracles. Just speak it out of your own mouth. Say, I believe it. I believe it in my older age. I believe it in my young years. I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you so much. Would you welcome my dad this morning as he comes?
I was just sitting there enjoying it. I wasn't ready to come up. Hey, good morning. You look great. Look at the person on the side of you and say, you look like you have lost weight. Go ahead. Hey, I'm so happy to have our online audience with us today. Why are you laughing like that so much? I'm so thankful to have our online audience with us. Can we put our hands together for everyone that's joining online today? Love you. From all over the country and different even parts of the world, we're so grateful that you are with us. And I'm so thankful. This morning, I'm gonna speak on You Need a Friend. And I have friends here that came from California that I grew up with. Robin and Lenny, stand up. Can we give them a big, we love you. I love you guys. Love you so much. And it was Robin's birthday this weekend. She turned, I think, 42, 43, like that. So happy birthday, Robin. Love you. And it's going to be their 40th wedding anniversary, too. You should have stayed around longer. We would have planned a party for you or something. I don't know. Just great. And I want to make a little disclaimer here. The chicken wings did not put Jimmy in the hospital. What's that?
They did the miracle.
Yeah, they did the miracle. They are great. And here we're talking about food again. God help us all. Hey, I want to encourage all of you, as Pastor Ryan said, Pastor Aaron, our small groups. You can find out which one would work for you. Go to our website or the Facebook page. They're always incredible, and they're going on almost every night of the week, some in the morning as well and during the afternoon. And then our Thursday nights, last Thursday we had a worship night and food afterwards. And no wonder it's so hard to lose weight around here. If we're not eating, we're talking about it. We need to get better at that. We need to talk more about exercising and doing things like that. Not one amen in this house when I said that. Hey, it's my coach's birthday today, Dan. Dan, stand up. We want to see you. Come on, stand up. Give Coach Dan a big happy birthday today. Lord, I thank you for the next few moments. Have your way in our lives and in our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. This week has been a significant week in the world, and it was just brought to my attention that three leaders of nations changed roles this week. Boris Johnson of the UK resigned. The Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan was assassinated, and the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka was ousted this week. He resigned, but he had no other choice. If you saw the pictures of that small South Asia island, people, they're tired of the corrupt government. I don't know all the details, but one thing I do know, that three leaders in our world changed roles, these nations, this week. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? I don't know that answer. But I know that we are living in a global society, and the things that happen in China affect us here. Things that happen in the Ukraine and Russia affect us here. And so to my point and to the nature of what I share today, that you need a friend. You and I will not face issues in our lives, things that come to us alone and isolated very well. And I know many people have this propensity and this tendency to want to live life and do life on their own. Pastor Ryan just affirmed it to me on Thursday when he was talking about that we need people in our lives that help us in the highs and the lows. And people say, well, I don't need anybody to help me when I got everything going right. Yes, you do. I've met so many people that have, incredible things that have happened in their lives. And all of a sudden, because they're on the mountaintop, they don't think that they need those people that God put in their lives that are so important to them. They feel like now they're at another echelon, only to find themselves crashing and burning not long afterwards. My brothers and my sisters, we need people not only when we're in a low spot in our lives, but we need people when we are in a high spot in our lives. And we don't need the people that just want to capitalize on the success or on the blessing that God has put in our lives. I need people in my life that have walked with me when I was crawling through a mud puddle. I need those same people in my lives when things are going great for me. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:9 that two are better than one because they have a better return for their labor. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But if one falls down alone, and pity the person who has no one there to help pick them up. Also, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And we are living in a society that many are experiencing what psychologists called social isolation. It challenges families, communities, people that isolate themselves. You know, we just heard and saw and viewed another tragedy that happened just this past week again in Illinois where people were senselessly shot and killed. And every time when that individual is examined afterwards, there's been a level of social isolation in their lives. And virtual friends are not the same as physical friends. They are not. They may be good. It may make you feel good that you got all these people that like you on social media. But if you don't have people that you can touch and speak with face to face, you will find yourself lonely, broken, and tragically alone. We need one another, whether you're younger, whether you're middle-aged, or it doesn't matter. And I've come to learn as I'm growing older in my life that some people that get a little older just think that they got things all handled and that they don't need the people in their lives that they did when they were younger. And my brothers and my sisters, nothing could be further from the truth. I need more people in my life right now than in any other time of my life. I need the right people in my life. And the church will fulfill a part of that, but a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to go to church because it's full of jacked up people. And you are 100% right. However, when we are in the house of God, we are under the banner of God's love and His protection and His grace and His purpose for our lives. And God specializes in taking people that are jacked up and making them right up for Him and for His glory. And we talk to people every day that admit, hey, I'm socially challenged. I have a difficulty with other people and being around other people. And I get that, and it's all right, but I am persuaded that the Bible makes it clear that we need one another. In fact, the Bible says in one of the first books of the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God looked at Adam after he had given him everything that he needed, but he discovered, you're not good alone. And that wasn't just for the male gender, that was for humanity. You are not good alone, because when you are alone, you start thinking and devising crazy stuff. Amen. None of us are good alone. I'm not saying that we don't need time alone to kind of recalibrate some time and just, you know, relax or whatever. But you don't want to take that to another level. And some of the reasons that we become in the social isolation place is because various things in our lives, transitions, separations, opposition can cause us to just want to stay away from other people. Rejection is difficult to deal with in our lives. And when we are rejected by somebody, we all of a sudden think that everybody that comes into our lives is going to do the same thing to us. And nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, the Columbia University did a study of what they called rejection sensitivity, and they found out that, listen, a great study, they found out that being rejected could actually make a person more sensitive to being rejected. Wow, what a brilliant discovery. But I thought about that, and in my own life, being rejected by my own father, living in an incredibly dysfunctional family, growing up in a neighborhood that just dysfunctional all around us, that people, not only my being rejected by my father, but being rejected by other people because our home was so just messed up. And living with that rejection and having that rejection be a part of my life throughout my life, and having this propensity to want to please people and make people think well of me, that the reality of that, you can't live like that either. Because if you do, you live for others and you don't live for God and what He has for you. And can I tell you that when I feel rejected and when I want to walk alone, the worst happens in my life. But when I realize that the Bible says that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus will never walk out on you. It brings a calm and a peace to my heart and into my life that I can emotionally handle what's in front of me and what's coming at me. No matter what goes on, I know that I am safe in the hand of God. And in the midst of feeling rejected, I can know that God is with me. He's for me. I feel God working right now in somebody's life. We need this, and we need this in our lives, and we need great friendships in our lives. We need to learn to accept one another in these great friendships, because not everybody is going to be like you. And I've learned that in my life. You know, I remember years ago, I was at another gym, and there were some people in that gym, and people that I had this paradigm about, that I thought they were in a particular way. And I'll never forget, this is years ago, that the group was small one day, and the coach put me together with this person that I had this thought about, this paradigm about. And I thought, oh my gosh, I gotta be around this person, only to find out that there was nothing wrong with that person, and it was nothing that I thought was a reality in my life, wasn't even true. And sometimes we have to learn to accept other people and accept their uniqueness and celebrate that, not reject it. In great friendships, we have to learn to sow and plant relationships. Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. You cannot be a miserable prude and think you're going to draw people to you. Some people have told me over life that are just, they look like they've been dipped in lemon juice. And then they say things like, oh, I just don't have any friends. Oh, that is, I'm so sorry to hear that discovery that you just made. But maybe if you begin to be friendly and begin to be kind, my brothers and my sisters, if you sow kindness, you reap kindness. If you sow love, you reap love. If you sow corn, you reap corn. Sow wheat, you reap wheat. You don't sow miserable and gain kindness. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And not everywhere that you sow will you reap a great harvest either. Sometimes we will sow and the seed will go on soil that it just won't grow. You will try to sow a relationship and a friendship with somebody and it will not work, and you have to determine to leave that up to God. Instead of saying, well, I tried, you know, I tried with this one person, it didn't work, and now I'm not going to have a friend with anybody. Let me tell you something. Relationships are not always easy. They take time. But have faith and patience as you sow friendships and learn to know who you should sow with. This is important. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'm going to reiterate it now. And people have gotten so mad at me over this, so I just want to prep you for it. If you're going to get mad at me, you're okay. I'm okay with it. You can't stay mad at me. You got to love me because I'm going to sow love into you. A man cannot have a best friend with another woman unless it's his wife. A woman can't have a friend with another man unless it's her husband. I'm not telling you you can't have friendships, but don't go around saying, if I said that so-and-so, she is my best friend, and it wasn't Patty, let me tell you something. There's going to be sparks in my household, and they are not going to be good sparks. And if she comes home and tells me, you know, so-and-so, he's just my best friend. Let me tell you something. I deadlifted 280 pounds 30 times this week. And if she comes home and tells me your name is your best friend, I'm going to come and deadlift you. You got to know who to sow with. And it is important who you give real estate to in your life. Whose voice you allow to influence who you become. And we need people in our lives that will encourage us to love and serve and follow God and not discourage you. You don't need that church. You don't need those people. What do you want to go to that small group? Come on out with me. Hey, me and the guys, we're going now. Hey, we're going to have some fun tonight. Run from that. Run from that. They are not your friends. Thank you, Pastor, for telling me that. And you need people that in love will tell you if you're about to make a fool out of yourself. Listen to this, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. When you choose a relationship, you choose wisdom or you choose harm. Did you hear what I just said? I want people that I choose to give relationship and real estate to in my life will build me, will encourage me, will speak life, hope, will speak to me, say, hey, I don't think you should do that. People that will help me grow spiritually and be the man that I'm called to be. Listen to how the Message Bible says it in Proverbs 13:20. People become wise by walking with the wise, but if you hang out with fools, you will watch your life fall to pieces. I just want that to hang there just a minute. Because sometimes I meet people, you continually go back and you allow people to hurt you and take advantage of you. And they are not your friend. Friends will put their arm around you and say, this is the way, walk in it. Come with me, come walk with me. My brothers and my sisters, you need that friend. Thomas Edison was one of the greatest minds of the 19th and 20th century. He had over 1,000 patents, made millions from inventions, and he hung around a couple other people in his life, Henry Ford and Harvey Firestone. They would get together. They would talk about what was possible. They would talk about what everybody else said was crazy and unattainable, but when they got together, they begin to speak about future. They begin to dream. They begin to envision things that others said could never happen. And I want to be with people like that. My hero in life, Pastor Tommy Barnett, told me, if you want to get close to somebody, only one has to move. Quit waiting for somebody to come to you. You move towards them if you want them. And I'm going to tell you something. I have worked at that in my life. I have traveled across the country. I have spent money just to go and meet people. I have spent to be with Pastor Tommy Barnett, and I worked on it for years and years that I can call now and I can say, can I come to a staff meeting in their church and have lunch with you? And he'll spend the whole day with me. I don't wait for him to come and call me. I call him. My pastor friend in New York City at the Times Square Church, Pastor Tim Delina, I text him this morning. I reach out to him. I sent him cookies, his whole family cookies. He sent me a picture back of all of his kids eating the cookies that I sent. Don't send me cookies, okay? I love you and I love cookies, but just don't send them to me. You have to plan. You have to be careful who you sow life with. Friends build up each other. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Building others up. I love the story that when Jesus walked up to some fishermen and he said, follow me, they not only believed in him, but they also believed that he believed in them. I love that. While we are building, we must also never label or stereotype people at a place where they are. We always have to look at them as what they can become. I love that. Great relationships will also bear with one another. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other. Forgive one another. And if anyone has a grievance among you, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Proverbs 19:11 says it's the glory of man to overlook a transgression. Are you good at that? Or do you get hung up on that? Great relationships, and I'm closing with this. Before I do that, husbands and wives, learn, young husbands, young wives, learn to have tolerance and forbearance with one another. Because if you don't learn it when you're young, it'll cause you to grow apart. It'll put a wedge in your relationship. When I married my wife, when she married me, we thought, oh my gosh, we told everybody what, you know, how much we loved each other, how great we were going to be together, that we would never fight, that our kids were going to be perfect. We would say our kids won't even mess their pants. They're going to be that good even at babies. Only to find out that life isn't like that. That you face obstacle. You face challenges. And you need to learn to have tolerance and forbearance with one another. That when you feel like blowing up, you let that go. When I was younger, I had a temper. And I believed my dad was wickedly had a temper. My father-in-law, who all of you knew is gentle Andy, the kindest, but when he blew, I'm going to tell you, that Irishman in him came out. And I believe that had influence on my life, that I would have this and I would blow up on that. And I'm telling you, I came to a place in my life, wait a minute, and somebody confronted me in the middle of it one time. It radically changed my life. And maybe that's happening with somebody in this room right now. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you deal with this temper thing and you think it's okay. And you think your spouse understands it. This just isn't for men. I've met some women that are pretty radical, can get pretty harsh. I'll never forget this is 30 years ago, this woman saying, my husband pushed me. And I went up to that guy and I was going to, like, do you push your wife? He goes, yeah, because she hit me over the head with a black frying pan. Oh. We'll close with this. Some of you thought that was funny. I'm not sure that's good. Great relationships. Pray for one another. They just don't send an emoji. And Debbie, play that song that Ryan was singing, Winds Blow. I don't know the name of it. He won't play that. Great relationships. Pray for one another. They don't say, praying. They don't do that. They literally, they pause. They get down. Father, I pray today. I ask you for my friend. I pray your peace. I pray healing. I pray restoration in the marriage, in a home, for a child that is wayward. I pray peace. I pray protection. They take time. They pray for one another. Great relationships, pray. Listen to what James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? He prays. Is anyone happy? He sings. Is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. And anoint them. The prayer offered in faith will make, not only heal the sick person, but the Lord will raise them up. And when you pray, if they have sinned, I love this, they'll be forgiven. That is powerful. Confess your sin one to another. Not to everybody. But you can find somebody. You can get into a small group and you can find a relationship. I love you coming to church, and I want you to be in the house of God. This is vital for your life. Vital. But there's another level for you and I. Step into one of those small groups and meet some people. You know, through COVID, many of the groups went online. I know Amy, who's going to speak this Thursday night, her PJ&J, amen. Their group is online. I know they have developed incredible relationships. Art Nicometto, they meet sometimes, but most of the time, that group is online. Some people say, well, I'm just not, I'm not into the Zoom. Get into it. Don't be stubborn like that. Stop saying you can't, because I can't and I won't are brothers. Start saying, I will. I'll figure out how to do that. And if you don't know how, find somebody that's 20 years old and younger. They will help you. Because there's people that need you, but there's also those that you need. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Close your eyes and bow your head with me today. You know, if you're here or you're watching online, you've never given Christ your life. Or maybe you've done it at one time, but you've never allowed that to grow in your heart and your life. You need to do that. You need to do it today. It's not complicated. You could ask Him, say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Some of you have never done that. Romans chapter 10 says that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised Christ from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And until you have that relationship with Him, you will never know the level of relationship you can have with others. For some of you today, you need that in your life. I need Jesus in my life. I've heard people over my life say, God is all I need. If that was true, we'd have to extract Genesis 2:18, because He says it's not good for man to be alone here. Oh yes, you need Jesus. He'll help you and guide you. But He deposits His Spirit in others so that you and I can be connected and live a greater life. So if you receive that today, I just want you to lift your hand and I want to pray for you right now. Pastor Ryan, come on up here. I pray for my brothers and my sisters today. If you're watching online right now, put your hand up in the air as well. Lord, not only do I need a friend, but I ask you to make me a friend. Even this day, I pray, God, that you will put on every one of our hearts to reach out to someone that maybe we haven't talked to, maybe someone that's even disappointed us, hurt our feelings, and first to forgive them, and then to accept them. I give you praise today, God. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we honor you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Would you stand with us?
On the mountain, I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on a mountain, I didn't get there on my own. Looking through the valley, I know I am not alone. Singing, God of the hills and valleys, hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys. I am not alone, God of the hills and valleys. Hills and valleys, God of the hills and valleys. I am not alone.
Father, we pray today there wouldn't be one that does life alone, that is swallowed in the guilt of the past or the discouragement of today. I pray even for someone that needs a resource, they need a person, they need a friend, that you would, by your kindness and goodness, once again send someone. Send me. Send us. Thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you so much. Have a great day.
The kind of God you are. I can't find the words, when I can barely breathe, I'm falling on my knees. Heaven help me, when I can't feel you near, when I can't hear you speak, I'm falling on my knees. Heaven help me, help me. Help me, 'cause I can't walk this road alone, and I can't do this on my own. Tell me, I just need to hear you say that everything will be okay. And I don't understand.
On joy from heaven's reserve, he stored up enough for every winter I'm served. circumstance. This joy that I have is my inheritance. Joy. This is the joy of the Lord. The joy.